You recall in the sixth verse when God called him, he identified himself by saying this, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses fell on his face because he knew them and he knew their God, but how much he knew about God, not very much. And so he said, well, now who am I going to tell him that sent me? And so God, first of all, he identified his name. He identified him by giving his name. The second thing he did, he added a promise. And the third thing he did, he promised this power. Now watch what happens. He says in this 14th verse, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. Isn't it interesting he didn't say I was or shall be? Because God is eternally, listen, God is in the eternal now. And all time, past, present, future is in the presence of God so that all time is now with him. He says, I am, not I shall be, not I was, I am. He says, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together. Say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me saying, I am indeed concerned about you and in what has been done to you in Egypt. So he said, now, I'm going to tell you who I am. This is who I am. I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God who, secondly, has made a promise. I'm the God who promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob this promise. Verse 17, so I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. He's talking about his promise he made to Abraham back in the 15th chapter of Genesis. He told Abraham this. He said, your family is going to be, well, let's turn to that passage because some of you may not be familiar with that, and this is a very important passage. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, because this is what he's referring to, beginning in the 13th verse. And God said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve. And afterwards they will come out with many possessions. So when he said in this passage, verse 17, so I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will pay heed to what you say. And you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt. And he says, this is what you will say to him. So that's what he was referring to. So he says, now look, this is who I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God who said to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're going into captivity. I'm ready to bring them out, and you're the man. And he says, not only that, one other thing I want to tell you, Moses, verse 19. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and will strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. And I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, you will not go out empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. Now, what is this all about? Here's what it's all about. God knew that Moses needed to understand who is this that's calling him to this impossible task. First of all, how is a man with a stick, that is with a shepherd's staff, going to walk into mighty Egypt to what they would think would be omnipotent Pharaoh and say, you let my people go. He'd be the laughing stock of Egypt. God said to him, listen, I want to be sure you understand who it is that's doing the talking. I am who's doing the talking. I remember my promise to your forefathers. And not only that, I will take care of the Egyptians. You simply obey me. Now listen, the reason I've asked people to bring a Bible to church, and the reason I say to you who listen week after week, you ought to open your Bible, take notes, write down what God is saying to you, because you see, what this is all about is discovering who God is. Most people do not know who God is. They have an image of God that is absolutely distorted. You will not trust a God whom you do not know. Now, I'll give you an example. I went to a restaurant yesterday that I go to often, and I thought, oh, I'll probably have to stand in line, but I'm hungry, and they had something I wanted, and so I think I'm going anyway. I walked in. There were seven other people there besides me. I said, where is everybody? They said, well, that's what we want to know. We don't know where they are either. So I walked in, and I had a quiet place, and the waitress came over, and she took my order, and I had my sermon outline laying on the table, because I'm just sort of going over it, and sometimes I'll do that, go somewhere and eat and just think about it and talk about it, and I learn a lot sometimes doing that. So she took my order, and she came back and brought me a glass of water, she said, are you a minister? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I used to go to church, and walked away. I mean, she said it very abruptly. Well, I thought, well, well, well. She has to bring my food back, trip number two. She has to bring me a bill, trip number three. So I've got two more shots. So when she came back, I said, would you do me a favor and tell me why you quit going to church? She said, because I don't believe in God anymore. I said, well, why don't you believe in God anymore? So she said, well, the church I went to, she said, after I heard all that, I knew I didn't believe in God. I said, what did you hear? So she told me what kind of church she'd been to, and very legalistic, and, you know, God was a God of judgment and punishment and condemnation. So I said to her, I said, you know what? I don't believe in that God either. I said, you know, the God I believe in is the God of the Bible. Let me tell you what he's like. I said, he is a God of love, unconditional love and forgiveness and kindness and so forth. And I went on talking about who God is. And I said, you know, that's the God I believe in. And I said, he's the real God. And she said, well, I have been looking for something. I said, you're empty, aren't you? She said, yes, I am. I said, I want to tell you, the God that I know is a God who will love you, forgive you, and give you a purpose and meaning in your life. Now, you see, if a person goes to the church and they discover that their God is this awesome judge who is full of condemnation and whom they fear, and the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, that does not mean being afraid of Him. Reverencing Him, yes. But so often that word really means to obey Him. If I fear Him, that doesn't mean I'm scared to death. But it means that I reverence Him, and I reverence Him to the point of obedience to Him and submission to Him and love and devotion to Him. That's what fearing God's all about. And you see, if a person's idea of God is that He's this mean somebody up yonder, I don't want to believe in that kind of God either, because that's not the God of the Bible. My faith, listen, your faith and my faith will be determined by our image of who God is. Listen, and the degree of my faith, whether that faith is little faith, great faith, or perfect faith, it is going to be the result of my image of who God is. And if I see Him as a God who is personal and intimate and loving, who wants to be involved in my life, a God who is concerned with me about the things I'm concerned with, not that He's worried about them, but He's desirous for me to know that He's concerned about them too, knowing that He knows how to deal with them. If I see Him as that kind of God, a God who is a helper, a God about whom Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send the Comforter. He'll be in you, with you, and upon you. If I see Him as a God whom Jesus said that He would come to live on the inside of me, then I'm going to want to talk to this God. I'm going to be able to believe a God who is that kind of God, who says, this is who I am. This is my promise, who keeps His promise, and who is intimately involved in my life. Yes, 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 I want to know who this is.